So I noticed that the population really reduces when it comes down to, you know, identity systems, data and provenance, and this really, you know, people who are interested in this thing, right? So my purpose here today is also to talk about our journey as a nation, right, Singapore, going through this whole idea of data privacy and provenance from a government perspective. And from there, basically, at the end of this, what you walk away with is the lesson learned when you are trying to launch a nationwide solution for identity systems, right? And how you preserve data privacy, and how do you even get this across to the general public? Because we felt that that is really a like, huge gap, right, between what the developer has in mind and what is really on the ground. Right, the kind of thing that we speak about in conference, you can't just bring it out in the public and expect people to understand it. Right, we found that there's a huge gap, and there's a lot of lessons learned from building such solution. Right, and basically, we are also aware that right now, I don't think there's a decentralized way of representing our visual images. Right, on decentrally rendering things. Right, and we have a solution for that, and basically we are going to share that for those of you who are a bit more technically inclined. So it will begin as a story, and the story starts with, you know, the previous talk was about, you know, blockchain anthropology, right? And then with the hype, it helps in driving the political there's the political drive to do it, and then all the questions start with like, hey, can we blockchain this? Right? So for start, maybe I think it would help if I show you, right, what exactly is open attestation or open cert before we jump into it, so that you get a bit better understanding of where the perspective comes from. Right? Since there is internet, I'm going to go right there, and this is basically our website. It's really simple, so you have a JSON document as the data file itself, right? People store it in their hard drive, email, whatever. Right, and basically at the end of it, it's rendered in a way that's familiar to people. Right, you don't have to use a special editor, you don't need a mobile app, although you could have one. And basically all your document is structured in a way that is, it looks good and looks familiar to you. If you get it from your university, it's going to look like your university certificate. And of course we do support things like multimedia assets, and you know, just really cool when you show people that, hey, you can have videos on the cert. And really just upon that, we do enable data privacy, and this is something really cool that we want to talk about later, where I can obfuscate something, but I couldn't change any data of it. So by doing this, I can actually remove data element, but it doesn't affect the hash of the document, so that I can later on verify this document again without the issuer reissuing this, this claim. Right. So I'm trying to keep the technical aspect of this low, so that if you're interested in the technical aspect of it, feel free to ask me about it at the end. Right. So that's pretty much what we have. Right. We want it to be really simple for citizens and, you know, people in general to use. So the journey begin like that. There's three phases. You know, you start with like, can we blockchain this? And really, you just want to revalidate again, just to make sure that, hey, that it's really alignment on the business as well as the technical. That's our version one. And then beyond that point, that's where we realize we mess up big time, right? I'll talk to you about that. And that's where we launch version two to actually patch up certain things, right? On scaling it beyond just Singapore alone. So the first part is really just the proof of concept. And it started off with our polytechnic, who just came to us and said, hey, can we have our blockchains on, can we have our certificate on the blockchain, right? Not the other way around. So the key issues here is that what is in a certificate? What is a certificate, right? Where do you want the data to be stored? Definitely not on the blockchain. And then how do you issue them so that the scalability of the blockchain does not affect you, you know? You have you have a few transactions a second, and that's not going to help you scale with 20,000 certs in a batch, right? So our solution is really simple. We put data into a file, we hash it, we get a hash, We take the file, we put it into a web renderer that does the rendering as well as the checking of the provenance. It does so by just rehashing through the document and then checking it against the smart contract on the Ethereum. And basically there's two leads, right? One for issue status and one for revoke status. Anyone can do that, right? So in terms of data, it looks like that. Okay. We prescribed a very strict schema because we think we knew what certificate data looks like, right? So we say, hey, all your data must fit into this schema, and then it goes there. And then basically we use a local tree to actually batch the issuance of, you know, tens of thousands of certificates at one go. We managed to do like tens of thousands in a couple of minutes, no problem there, right? And the only information stored online was actually just the Mongo root 64 character hash. Okay, so there's no information leaked to outsiders, right? And basically at that point in time, this is how our product looked like. And we told ourselves, hey, we were ready for the market. Let's launch this to the citizen, it looks like that. So there were a few key assumptions right here at that point in time, right? We assume that we knew what goes into a certificate. It's untrue, right? Later we found out that certificates are not just education credentials, right? And different people think of different things when we talk about education credentials, right? And schools are definitely not fine with their default look. They want their logo, they want it to look like the way they do, and then they want it structured into tables in very weird way, grouped by semesters. That wasn't quite what our data structure supports, right? So there comes OpenCertificate version 1, where they form a consortium. So this is really cool. Like, a lot of schools got together informally and then say, hey, we are going to form a consortium and you are going to build us a product. And we said, okay, sure, why not, right? And at that point in time, the challenge was this: how do we go about standardizing data but yet allow customization amongst the different schools? How much data goes into the document itself? Do I add just the name? Do I have DID specs in there? Do I have a whole video in there? Do I, you know, all sorts of things. How do we customize the looks of it? This is the first time the visual thing came about. And how can we ensure people who issue open certs basically time the identity of the issuer to a real-world identity, right? Because we worked with pseudonyms, right? So at this point, basically, we had this thing where we have a template key, basically it's just a key, and we basically allow schools to do a GitHub commit to our repository to change the certificate style, and then basically we use the key to toggle the different styles, right? And then from there, we introduce the user control data privacy, which is the one that I show you, that we can remove a single line or a part of the certificates without affecting the integrity of the cert, right? And also, we allow for additional data such as like signatures, such as like images, and all sorts of things to go within the data file so that people can customize it, right? And we don't prescribe, we have a more flexible data schema in general. Right, and basically how we deal with identity is really simple at that point in time, right? Basically we have a file, right? It's called registry.json, and basically it resolves to this pseudonym is that person, this pseudonym is that person, and this pseudonym, I don't know who is that. I issue a warning banner telling you that I could not figure out who is that, go figure it out myself, and that is the 32 character address, figure it, right? And it wasn't elegant, right? At this point in time, there were a few assumptions. We assumed, right, that, you know, each school is probably going to have one or two templates and you can put them all in one place, yeah. And it's really easy to say who can issue such a document and who couldn't, right? Later we figure out, even at a government level, you couldn't do that because how about private training providers? Those are really tricky spaces, right? So there comes version 2 where we look into decentralization in general, right? At this point in time, the media is all hyped up, the schools are all hyped up, they were saying like, hey, launch this, and then they put it onto the newspaper, right? just like all blockchain projects. Right? And this is really scary. So we log on to GitHub and then we see, oh my god, like this school, this is from one school by the way. So one school decided to put, you know, have different template style, and this is just from one school. So part one, part two, part three, I don't even know how to review this. We spent a lot of time reviewing this. And basically, it's a lot on this. We get questions like, hey, how do we lint? Seriously? Can you turn off Solar Cube? Yeah, sure, why not? And people say, I need to install custom font. Right, so if you install custom font, every single school in the world is going to get custom fonts. Yeah, sure. And then when we give recommendations, there's really just different standards in technical abilities. And then there's just like, is this just recommendation or could I skip this through, please? And this is the best. Right, can you approve my pull request because my user is doing UAT tomorrow? Yeah, sure. Alright, so at this point in time, scaling became a big issue for us. So the next question that we wanted to tackle was, how can we scale beyond just Singapore? How do we scale beyond just a few schools? How can we not manage those pull requests? I don't want to see any more of those pull requests. Right? And basically, we just wanted template changes without change. Right? How can you just specify how you like to do your styling without coming to the government and knock on our door and say, hey, can you review our code? Right? We don't want to do that. And also, automatically verify identities of issuers who are not in the registry, because there's only as much people we can fit into one registry without going like, hey, everyone's going to get in, right? Because you really need to verify each of them, and it's a lot of work in there, right? So here comes decentralized rendering, which is one of the two key components on our version 2, which is to use very simple iframes, right? To then render a document from another site that is not from our site, right? Basically, within your certificate data, the ones you saw just now, it specifies, hey, render me the view of it from a specific URL, conforming to a certain rendering specifications. And then basically, our site basically just go over to that site, pull out a blank page in an iframe, and basically pass data through post message into that frame, and have that frame render out the visuals. Right? Basically, this is how it looks like in the data. We have a template. Remember, just now it was just a template key. Right now, it has a URL and says that it's an embedded renderer type. Basically, it instructs the browser to go to the URL, throw in the entire object itself. It should be able to resolve, right, if it's following this standard. So this is how it looks like. Right? So this is an example, the document that you saw just now. And basically, really just in the code, you can see it's an iframe and then it goes to a specific source demo renderer.openzits.io and pass in the entire certificate object there itself. And that party is then responsible for rendering up the view. So this way, we would not have any more pull requests on, you know, visuals, because that is the least of concern for us, right? And the next question is that now we have figured out the visuals, how then do we do identity? So for us, we were thinking like, hey, we are already using such a mechanism, it's called DNS, right? Can we then use DNS to then prove the identity of the issuer? So it was really simple, it was just like you tie up you have a protocol and then you say that I'm on Ethereum mainnet, that one, and then your smart contract address that I'm issuing from is that address. And basically, you just have to match the one within the document. And it was that easy. And basically, with that, you can really just forget about the list, the long list of like people that you know, and then basically just have this thing like issued by a sample domain, right? Or really just any domain itself. So the moment we roll out this, we realized that there were schools around the world who were kind of watching us. In fact, there was one school that after we launched this, they kind of made it, and then they posted news onto the news, and then we later found out from the news that, hey, they are using our technology. And it was really nice for us at a point in time knowing that, hey, people are using it without telling us, which is great. Right, so at this point, we're just going to share with you what's next. So the key technology underpinning OpenSIS is actually Open Attestation, which is the document format and the whole ideology behind the rendering, the identity, the document structuring, and all those things. So we are open sourcing that full schemes, and we are right now working on the documentations. The source is all open, it's just the documentation is a little all over the place. We are trying to tidy things up there. OpenCert itself is fully open source with documentation ready, and the other cool project that the Singapore government is also working on is called Trade Trust, and we are basically bringing this technology into the trade ecosystems. And basically, it's just working on trade documents. And on top of that, we are also looking into how we can tokenize deeds in general. So in the trade sector, there's this thing called the bill of lading. Basically, it represents like ownership of cargoes, right? And basically, we are looking into how to tokenize that thing and make it recognized at an international level. So for that project specifically, we are also working. We are working with international bodies like the UNCFECT. In fact, we were the one who hosted UNCFECT a couple of weeks ago, a meeting with Australia and China, right? So if you are interested in any of this kind of project in terms of documents, notarizable documents, or identity system, feel free to talk to us, right? And basically, that's all for us. And this is the documentation. You can have a go at the demo. The slides are available at this URL or the QR code. So we are hiring. We are free to explore use cases. And if you have suggestions or feedback, please go ahead and contact me. All right, thank you. I think we have a bit of time for questions. So if anyone has questions, please go ahead.
So I think right now you're using the hash function.
Do
you have any plans to use
the hash function? We're using Cheshire 256 right now. Yeah, but then again, we can swap out the hash function anytime. No problem with that. We just use whatever that's useful for us. Right. If that's the case, then I'll be right around. So, and you got my email. So anytime. Right. Thank you.